Good morning. It's Wine Wednesday, and I'm your host, Ziggy the Wine Gal. Thank you for tuning in this morning, my friends, and I am so happy to be back in the saddle. I just flew in only a couple of days ago from Italy, and it was so much fun to do Wine Wednesday live from Italy last week. But today I have a very exciting show for you in store. First, I just want to mention our sponsors for Wine Wednesday, Oliver's Markets. They have four fabulous locations. And there really is nobody that supports local like Oliver's Markets and Willoughby's Wine and Spirits. They have two locations, Petaluma and downtown Santa Rosa. Well, if you work for a winery, you own a winery, you're a winemaker, and you think that you have the best wines that pair perfectly with turkey, it is now the time for you to submit your wines for my 29th annual Thanksgiving Wine Picks. If you want more information, send me an email. Ziggy@krsh.com, and I will give you the scoop because the deadline to enter your wines is in 2 weeks, all right, or less. I'm a little bit jet lagged, so give me a break. But today I'm welcoming Rich Parducci in studio, all the way from Mendocino. He made quite the drive this morning. And you know, McNab Ridge has had a special place in everybody's heart who really truly knows about the intricacies and the microclimates and the special little areas of Mendocino wine growing. And Rich has been making wine there for a while. As a matter of fact, the Parducci family has quite the legacy in Mendocino County winemaking. Just before we were live, we were talking about kind of the Wayback Machine in the history of that part of the world, just outside of Hopland. And I'm so excited to welcome you at the very end, tail end of your harvest season. Welcome, Rich.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And I'm jealous that you just came back from Italy.
I'm doing pretty good for just 2 days back, right?
Amazingly well.
So the Parducci family goes back more than 70 years in Mendocino County winemaking, right?
That is correct. Yes. My great-grandfather bought the original property in 1921. And of course, that was the beginning of Prohibition. So he made wine for the church and then also bootleg wine. And then in 32, as Prohibition was getting repealed, they started building Parducci wine cellars. And the first vintage there, legal vintage, I guess, it was 1933. So yeah, over 100 years in Mendocino County wine. So I'm the fourth generation.
That is truly amazing. And you know, I just have to say, rewinding a little bit to Prohibition, how much wine was really being made for the church? I had Julie Pedroncelli in studio with me a few weeks ago, and you know, she was talking about her family legacy through Prohibition. And I'm just thinking, there must have been a lot of really tipsy people in church back in Prohibition because there was so much wine being made for the churches. But that was the only legal way you could get around it, right?
Yeah, I believe so. That was it. And like I said, if you weren't doing it that way, you were bootlegging it.
Right.
My great-grandfather would put his wine on the truck and cover it with firewood and then take it into San Francisco, North Beach probably.
Yep. That's where I grew up.
Of course, back then, you know, there was no Golden Gate Bridge. So
No. You
were going down and getting on the ferry and going across. And
it was quite
there.
The haul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So fast forward, McNab Ridge Winery was purchased in 1999, if I remember correctly. And you guys came in and bought the winery and continued your Parducci winemaking legacy through that. And you went to UC Fresno or... Was it, you went to school, winemaking, viticulture school in Fresno, right?
I did. I went to Fresno State.
I started in
viticulture at Santa Rosa Junior College, which was an amazing program.
Oh my gosh, the best program.
Yeah,
really.
Rich Thomas.
Did he ever talk to you about putting Gewurztraminer in your breakfast cereal? That was his deal. Like, you would get into class there, you know, and I took some viticulture classes there. Easy for me to say. And he was like, here's a great entry into your morning and putting Gewurz in your breakfast cereal. And I'm like, only that guy can really get away with it. What a great teacher he was.
Amazing teacher and just a great overall human being. Yeah. So I started there and then I transferred over to Fresno State and started in the viticulture side over there and then transitioned into enology winemaking and went back and started working for the family at Parducci back in 92. So.
Wow, 1992, a fabulous vintage. I just had some vintage 92 wines in Italy last week, some Brunellos.
Oh my God, it was, you're killing me.
I know, it was really something. Anyway, so you've been there, what, 25 years now then, right?
Yes, we bought the property in 1999 in McNab Ridge, because we're in the McNab Valley, which mm-hmm. was homesteaded by Alexander McNab in the 1860s.
And that's Scottish heritage.
Yes.
And my daughter's in Scotland right now.
Glasgow, so. I believe, is where Alexander McNab came from.
And she grew up with a McNab pup from that area. So smartest dog ever.
Yes, very good dog, very agile, smart, live a long time.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we digress a little bit, but not too much. I wanted to just kind of mention some of these really fun wines that you've been making for quite a while, and wines that have really raised some eyebrows and definitely tantalized some palates in a lot of the wine competitions that I judge in. One is French Colombard. You guys have been making French Colombard. I love your French Colombard, and it has been my quintessential patio pounder in the warmer months, but absolutely fabulous in the holidays for, you know, Thanksgiving and beyond. And what a terrific, terrific wine. And when I mentioned to some folks, oh yeah, you know, you have this McNab, this, you know, French Colombard, they're like, French Colombard, that's so like yesteryear. And I'm like, oh no, you need to embrace the French Colombard.
Yeah, it is. It is a very, well, I'd say unique, but I mean, at one time it was the most widely planted white grape in California.
Totally.
A lot, obviously, in the Central Valley, because it's so versatile for, you know, a lot of different things. But this one we have comes from about a 50-year-old vineyard, you know, head pruned, dry farmed.
Love that.
Small production. We're talking less than 2 tons per acre. And yeah, it just creates, like you said, it's a patio pleaser. It is great Thanksgiving wine. It's actually in my truck right now. I'm going to be dropping it off for the Thanksgiving tasting.
Oh, so, I love it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see how it does up against the other wines for Thanksgiving. But yes, it is a unique.
It's a great food wine. And you know, that variety was used to make brandy for quite a while as well. Jepson back in Hopland back in the day used to use French Colombard for their brandy. I'm in the Wayback Machine right now.
And what was the one in Carneros? There was another, Carneros Lambic. They also use Colombard.
Yes, and, yeah. That was quite a while ago. And then you're making Pinotage. So a lot of people don't even know what a Pinotage is. So what is a Pinotage, Rich?
Pinotage is a cross between Pinot Noir and Cinsault, and it was cross-pollinated in Stellenbosch University in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Why they did it, I don't know, but... over there it's more earthy, has more of a smoky kind of character. Ours always seems to be more red fruit driven. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't even know what it was in 2000. And we bought some grapes off a vineyard and the guy says, what about the Pinotage? Okay, we'll just take it.
And right.
And next thing you know, we have this very unique wine that, you know, people have fallen in love with.
Well, if you just heard the word Pinotage and you're tuning into Wine Wednesday, I have Rich Parducci in studio this morning. Came all the way down from Hopland, and we're talking about some of the unique things that he's making at his winery. And I remember bringing some of your Pinotage backstage to a couple of Heart concerts when I was their on-tour sommelier, and for Journey and a lot of other bands. And they're like, what is going on in this bottle? And so it was always fun to explain something totally unique and different to these guys, to kind of take their mind off of being on tour and stuff like that. But yes, I have brought your bottle of Pinotage backstage to those wonderful venues. But you also make a really great Chardonnay, a fabulous Sauvignon Blanc, a killer Grenache Rosé. I fell in love with that this summer. I didn't even know you were making that, and I fell in love with it. And then I talked to my good friend Bernadette. She goes, oh, Zig, come on. You know they make this Grenache Rosé. And you make Petit Sirah and Zinfandel and Merlot and Cabernet. I mean, you are doing some incredible, incredible wines. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's easy on the pocketbook. You know, you don't have this insane pricing that I'm seeing at some of the wineries for $250 a bottle for a bottle of Cabernet and stuff like that. Your wines are definitely very pocket-friendly, and I love them, which is why you're here.
Oh, well, thank you. And I mean, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the cost of the fruit up there in Mendocino County is much less than it is to our neighbors to the south, obviously Napa and Sonoma.
But it's of no lesser quality, I'm just going to say.
We can hold our own for sure, and we have, you know, in competitions, we've done well, and we've gotten some really nice ratings over the years. But it is, you know, I mean, the cost of the fruit, when you're paying $2,500 a ton for Cabernet versus, say, $9,000 or above.
Right, it's a different deal.
Yeah, it's obviously adds to the bottom line, so... we're trying not to gouge anybody, and I want to see a bottle of wine on everybody's, you know, dinner table.
Well, you know what? That's the bottom line. And when I grew up, and from the time that any of me and my siblings could sit at the table, my dad always served us a little tiny bit of wine. And I grew up with that as wine is part of the meal. And the whole reason I started this Wine Wednesday program almost 3 decades ago was to bring wine to the table for everyday living and realize that it's a fabulous beverage to come together, to come over October for that big promotion that's happening now, but really just to gather around a glass of wine and a meal and a conversation. And that is my passion. And when I have tasted your wines over the years, it still rings true. I mean, this is some great wines that you're making that everybody can afford and put them on the table. And they're delicious, and they're handcrafted, and they're not manipulated, and they're not fancy pants, and they're just deliciously perfect in every way.
I just try not to screw up good grapes.
I love that. Well, thank you. I've had Rich Parducci in the studio this morning, and I'm excited to see how your wines fare through the Thanksgiving Wine Picks tasting. It's the only competition of its kind in the world where all the judges actually taste every single wine blind together with roasted turkey to see what really pairs best. So you should come down and check out the competition or maybe be a judge.
I would love to.
That would be so fun. Well, if folks want to learn more about your wines or purchase online, we have a lot of listeners from all over the country. What is your website?
www.mcnabridge.com. And that's McNab with one B.
All right. McNabridge.com. Well, thank you, Rich, for making the trek this morning. I'm so happy to talk to you about Harvest before we went on air and all these fun wines that you're making, these blends, these French Colombards, Pinotage, and all the single varietals. And it's never too late for a glass of rosé every day. I love it 365. So get your paws on some of this Grenache rosé if I were you. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Have a great day. Cheers, my friends.